Our gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we are so grateful to be here and have the opportunity to open your word, to study together. And yet, Father, we know that as we open the word, as we seek to understand more of this wonderful gift of prophecy, Father, the spirit that inspired the prophet must also inspire us as we seek to understand your will and your ways and your teachings in regard to this gift. And I pray, Lord, for a special blessing of your Holy Spirit upon this class today. Father, bless me as the speaker. Bless the class as hearers, that we won't be receiving my words, but, Father, we will understand your words today. And, Father, I'm asking this in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. Okay, one of the first things that I want to touch on. As I said, this class, I'm looking for markers here. I started out, in fact, a lot of the things that we're looking at today, I did a sermon series, and I entitled that series, By a Prophet, because I was alarmed at the fact that many, even of my own Seventh-day Adventist church members, even of people who've been in the church their whole lives, could not give a good reason from the Bible why they believed in the spirit of prophecy. Okay? There's a thing that you'll hear spoken sometimes. People will say, as Seventh-day Adventists, we believe in the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. Have you heard that before? Now I'm going to challenge that. Okay? But before I do that, I'm going to say that's a lot like saying we believe that we're saved by faith and works. Have you ever heard anybody say that?
No. Never heard anybody say that.
You will. You will. And not everybody necessarily knows what they mean or means what that may sound like when they say it. But I've had people say this. In fact, this was one of the things that when I became a minister in the Ohio Conference, one of the things that they asked a question. One of the questions they asked me coming in, are we saved by faith alone? Are we saved by works? Or are we saved by faith and works? Oh, what's the answer? Faith that works, brother. Amen. And the reason that they word it that way, and I understand, some people hear that, and they don't want to answer faith alone because they hear that, you know, sometimes when people say faith alone, they're not necessarily talking about Bible faith. Ellen White talked about people who said, we're saved by faith alone, and they emphasize this. And she says, that's true in the fullest sense. But she says, a lot of people don't take it in the fullest sense. Their faith alone means a faith that doesn't obey Christ. A faith that doesn't yield their will to God's supreme will, okay? But the fact remains that we're not saved by faith and works. We're saved by faith, a faith that works, a true living faith. Do you follow me? And we don't believe in the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. We believe in a Bible that teaches the spirit of prophecy. We believe in the Bible. We believe in sola scriptura. And listen to me, my young brothers and sisters. It's because of our belief in the Bible and that alone that we believe in the gift of prophecy as manifested through Ellen White. Amen. We can't not believe in the gift of prophecy. And I'm hoping that if nothing else at the end of this class, what will be clear in your mind is, as a Bible-believing Christian, I can't not believe that Ellen White was a prophet sent by God. Amen. Okay? The Bible is plain on this. And so that's going to be our goal in this class. So that you can have a confidence. Not so I can have a confidence. You know, it's so important. And I know that any teacher, Pastor Wallace, I'm sure, has been trying to, you know, the burden of the teacher is that not that I have the confidence. I know what I believe. And I don't want you to know what I believe. I want you to know what you believe. Amen. I want you to leave the class with a clear confidence that this is what I believe. Because you're never going to be able to stand in life for something that I believe. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. The The first text I want you to go with, kind of an overarching text in what we're looking at, is in Hosea chapter 12. It's right after the book of Daniel. Hosea chapter 12. It's really a fascinating text here. Hosea chapter 12 and verse 13. Hosea chapter 12 and verse 13. Okay. And as I'm looking over the class, you all seem to be doing fairly well. You know, the worst class to teach, Pastor Wallace, is the one after lunch. You know? And the room is even a little bit, it's a little on the warm side here. You know, and what happens after lunch when you get that full stomach in a little bit of a, warm room, you know? You start to doze off. So I will make an example out of you if you start to sleep in my class. Hosea 12. No, seriously, I was telling somebody at lunch, I don't know, you had Pastor Richard O'Phil this year. Well, he just spoke at our church in Grand Rapids this last weekend. And he said that right up front. He said, you know, he says, if you're going to fall asleep in my class, he says, you better have eyes painted on your eyelids so it looks like you're awake when you're sleeping, because he says, if I catch you sleeping, I'm going to make an example out of you. And he did. We had a fellow who was dozing off in the class, and I thought, yeah, that's a good idea. That'll keep them on their toes. All right. Hosea 12:13. The Bible says, and I'm using the New King James Version here, by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet he was what? Preserved. By a prophet God brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet Israel was preserved. Now, I want you to keep that in mind as we look at our next text, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And this is all just by way of introduction here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and this is probably review for a lot of you, but there's nothing wrong with review, is there? No. Repetition deepens what? That's right. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, I want you to start in verse 1 with me. 1 Corinthians 10. In fact, let's flesh this out quite a bit, because I think this goes very much with what we're talking about. 1 Corinthians 10, 1. The apostle says here, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that what? That what? What's that word there? All our fathers were under the cloud, and what? How many passed through the sea? All passed through the sea. How many were baptized? All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Verse 3 starts with what word? All ate the same spiritual food, and what? All drank the same spiritual drink. You see a pattern there, don't you? Paul says, all of our fathers, you know, here we are, the children of Israel, all of our fathers came out of Egypt. They all went through the wilderness. They all passed through. They passed through the Red Sea together. They were under that cloud. They witnessed the mighty miracles of God in deliverance. All of them did. But something changes. He says, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was who? Christ. Was Christ. But verse 5 says, but with what? But with who? Most of them. What happened? God was not pleased. With most of them, God was not pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. In essence, he's saying, they all went to the same church. They all went to the same church school. They all put money in the same offering plate. They went to the same Sabbath school class. They went to the same church socials. But with all that, most of them died in the wilderness. We're not saved by association, you know that. We're not saved because we hang out in Christian groups. Ellen White commenting on the virgins, the 10 virgins, the parable of the 10 virgins. She says, those 5 foolish virgins that had no oil in their lamps, she says, these were not hypocrites. The Bible says they're virgins. They had a pure faith. She said they loved the truth, they loved the people of the truth, they liked to be around the people who believed the truth, but they didn't fall on the rock Christ Jesus and let their heart be broken up. You see? They didn't have an experience in the things of God. Now, the setting of this is very interesting. Paul gives us this introduction. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be aware that even though all our fathers came through that wonderful, mighty experience and saw the miracles of God, most of them didn't make it. What is it? What do you think that tells the people that Paul's talking to? What is that conveying to them? We better be more alert, huh? Boy, if they could all go through that experience and most of them be lost, then we need to be on our toes, don't we? Okay, and this is what he's saying. Now, he says, these things happened, verse 6. These things became our what? Examples to the intent that we should what? Not lust after evil things as they lusted. And he begins to list several experiences of the children of Israel. In verse 11, he recaps again and he says, now all these things happened to them as what?
Examples.
And they were written for who? They're written for our, my Bible says admonition. Anybody have a different word? What's an admonition? Instruction. Warning. These things happened, and God wrote these things down. You ever read those Old Testament stories and say, that's interesting, but man, what's that have to do with me? The Apostle Paul says it has everything to do with you and me. Isn't that right? These things were written for our example. They were rather, they happened to them as examples. They were written for our admonition upon whom the what? The ends of the ages, the ends of the world have come. Those of us living in the very last moments of earth history, that's what this was written for. Okay? Now, Hosea chapter 12, 13, as we just read it. By a prophet, God brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet, God preserved his people. They would have all been lost in the wilderness if it hadn't been for the faithfulness of the prophet. And today, I would imagine that not one of us would make it if God hadn't in his mercy sent a prophet to guide his people, just like he did then. These things happened to them as examples for us. And when we read that text in Hosea, we say, oh, that's interesting. It's a nice little text that talks about what happened way back when. No. They're written for those of us upon whom the ends of the world have come. God brought his people out under the guidance of a prophet. And God preserved them by the guidance of a prophet. That's the role. And we're going to look at that. Today, at this, in the time that we have today, we're going to take a look at the gift of prophecy and the purpose of the gift of prophecy. The first thing I want to do is go to the Bible and just get a very simple Bible definition of what a prophet is. Okay? What is a prophet? Let's go to the book of Exodus. Let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Interesting little passage of scripture here. Exodus chapter 4, we're going to pick up in verse 10. This is when the Lord had come to Moses and told Moses he wanted him to lead Israel. This is the prophet that God raised up that we were just reading about. God comes to Moses. Incidentally, I love the story of Moses. Moses was, we know the story of the little basket boat. He was raised up in the king, in the Pharaoh's palace, and he was trained as a military genius in Egypt. And when the from the time he was young, he understood that God was going to raise up. He understood the miraculous preservation when he was young, and he knew God had promised a deliverer, and he realized that that was his purpose. Sister White tells us that specifically. The Bible will allude to that. But as Moses got older and that day came where he was seeing one of the Hebrew people oppressed by an Egyptian, you remember what happened? He went and he killed the Egyptian taskmaster. Figured it's time, now it's time. I'm going to come in here and I'm going to take care of this guy and I'm going to lead my people out. Only it didn't quite go as he planned, right? His own people turned on him, didn't trust him, and Moses fled for his life and spent 40 years in the wilderness of Midian. Now remember, he was a trained general in Egypt. He knew all the military strategies. He was, as far as human appearances go, probably in the best shape to lead any army. But after 40 years in the wilderness of Midian as a shepherd, you ever forget things you learn? Huh? Well, I better not say that. You know, are you going to quiz these guys? You probably forget some of the things you learned last week. Oh, I asked my church. I'll preach up. So what, you remember what we talked about last week? We can be in a sermon series. Oh, last week. 40 years later, Moses has forgotten everything. And the Lord says, okay, Moses, now it's time. And look at Moses' response. Verse 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent. Neither before nor since have you spoken to your servant. Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant. But I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. I've been out of Egypt so long I forget the language. I don't know how am I going to go in there now? Lord, I'm ill-equipped. I'm not able. I'm not capable. I don't have the skill to go in and do what you're asking me to do. You guys ever say something like that? Let's go out and knock on those doors. I don't know how to do it. Let's give a Bible study. I've never given a Bible study on that before. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. Verse 11, so the Lord said to him, oh, take note of this. So the Lord said to him, who's made man's mouth? Who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go. Incidentally, somebody's probably brought this up. The word therefore, when you read the word therefore, what do? Ask what it's there for. Therefore means what? What does the word therefore mean? For this reason. Notice what he says. Moses, who made man's mouth? Now, for this reason, Moses, go. I made your mouth. Now, for this reason, go, he says, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. And Moses did, just like you and I do so often. But he said, oh, my Lord, please send by the hand of whoever else you'll send, anybody but me. And so it says in verse 14, so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well. And look, he's also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, you will be glad. He will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his what?
Mouth.
And I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you should do. So he shall be your what? He shall be your what?
Spokesman.
Some of you got it. He shall be your what? This is important. He shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as who?
God.
As God. Now, go from there with that fresh in your mind to chapter 7 and verse 1. Exodus chapter 7 and verse 1. Exodus chapter 7 and verse 1. Notice what it says. So the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your what? Your what?
Prophet.
A prophet is a what? A spokesman. Very simply put, Bible definition. A prophet is a spokesman. A prophet is not necessarily a fortune teller. A lot of people think, a prophet tells the future. A prophet simply speaks for God. A prophet is a special spokesman for God. You follow that?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's look at that one other place, Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, notice, we'll start in verse 5. Jeremiah 1 and verse 5. The Bible says here, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, I ordained you a what?
Prophet.
A prophet to the nations. Now, look at what Jeremiah says. Look at this, we're running over the same ground again. Then said I, Jeremiah says, ah, Lord God, behold, I can't speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I shall send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Don't be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put what?
My words.
my words in your mouth. What was Jeremiah? A prophet, a spokesman. You follow that? That's what a prophet is. In the Hebrew, and we'll look at this a little bit more later, but in the Hebrew, the word for prophet, nabi, means spokesman or spokesperson. That's what the Hebrew word means. Throughout the Old Testament, you read the word prophet, the Hebrew word is nabi. It means spokesperson. In the New Testament, the word for prophet is the Greek word prophetes, which means one who speaks forth. A spokesperson. Okay? So, you've got a little Greek and Hebrew definition. You've got the Bible definition. A spokesperson for the Lord. That's what a prophet is. Interestingly enough, the difference between a prophet and a priest is that a priest is in a position of one who speaks to God in behalf of man. And the prophet is one who speaks to man in behalf of God. Okay? So let's go from here to the next point that I would like to make. Prophet is a spokesperson for the Lord. Now, did God ever speak to his people through means other than prophets? Okay, what are some of the ways? Can somebody tell me?
A donkey.
A donkey? I wonder if that would make the donkey a prophet. He did speak through a donkey. What else?
Angels.
Angels. Okay, what else?
Nature.
What's that?
Nature.
Nature.
The heavens declare
the glory of God. What are some other ways God communicated to ancient Israel? Okay, dreams. Okay. Look with me to 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel chapter 28. Now you may remember the story of King Saul. King Saul had rejected the Lord's counsel. King Saul had rebelled against the Lord and had hardened his heart against the Lord. He refused to submit to the Lord, and though outwardly he made like he really wanted to know the Lord's will, yet in his heart he didn't want to know the Lord's will. So the Lord wasn't answering Saul. And in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 6, I want you to notice what it says here. Saul had been inquiring. Now Samuel the prophet had died. Saul had always gone to Samuel the prophet. Well, Samuel had passed on. Okay? So in verse 6 it says here, "And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him either by what? Dreams or by what? Urim or by the prophets." What was Urim? Does anybody know? Okay, the stones on the breastplate. That was another way that God communicated, right? The Urim and the Thummim on the breastplate of the high priest's garment, God would speak through that, emitting light on the one, through the one, or a shadow or cloud over the other. Okay, so there were different ways God communicated with his people, and I just wanted to make that point. And we know that. We see that in different places. However, God's modus operandi, God's mode of operation, God's favorite and primary means of communicating his truth to his people was via the prophet. Okay? One of the texts that you know on that one is Amos 3:7, probably one of the plainest texts. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, chapter 3 and verse 7. You can probably say it with me. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his what? His secrets to the what? To his servants, the prophets. God revealed his secrets. And it says there, Amos says, surely the Lord God will do how much?
Nothing.
Unless he reveals his secrets. He's going to reveal his secrets to the people. God wants us to know what's going on, doesn't he? Okay? When it's for our good to know, God reveals it. Surely he'll do nothing. And I would say nothing that he knows pertains to our eternal salvation unless he reveals to us that secret through the prophets. Okay? God's mode of communication is through the prophet. God had spoken audibly in times. He's spoken face to face at times. He's spoken through different means. But God's primary mode of communication has been through the prophets. Okay, prophets aren't new. We talk about it. Well, Ellen White, you know, this, brothers and sisters, the Bible is full of prophets. Ellen White's not the only prophet that ever was. And a person said, I don't know if I believe in prophets. Get rid of your Bible. It was written by prophets. So we've got to understand this. This is how God has chosen to communicate His truth to His people. Now, briefly, I want to touch on the three modes of inspiration that God uses. When God communicates a message, there's three modes that we're going to discuss. The mode of revelation, and this will be brief, the mode of revelation, the mode of inspiration, and the mode of illumination. Okay? Revelation. Revelation is simply the act of disclosing the information. In other words, God gives the information to the prophet by what we call revelation. He reveals it to them. Revelation is the act of disclosing the information. The informational content of the message is communicated. That's communicated to us through the prophet is given to the prophet by revelation. Inspiration is the process by which God enables the prophet both to receive and to communicate the information that was revealed to him. So first, there's revelation to the prophet. Then, through inspiration, the prophet receives the message and communicates the message. And illumination is the work of the Holy Spirit in enabling you and I to receive the message of the prophet. Question. If God has revealed a message to the prophet, and the prophet, through inspiration, has communicated the message to you and I, does that mean you and I are going to get it? Why not? What's that? We need illumination. Illumination is the means by which the Holy Spirit enables us to receive the message. This is why Pastor Moore was talking last night in the meeting about the young man who had the whole Bible memorized in Hebrew, but yet was not a Christian. I've encountered numerous people, and you will too when you get Bible studies. They've read all kinds, they know all kinds of stuff about the Bible and all these other religions, but they've never. I had an evangelistic meeting just this last summer, and had a guy coming out to that meeting. He studied with the Jehovah's Witnesses. He studied with the Mormons. He studied with the Baptists. He studied with everybody. He's got a little piece of all kinds of information. And unless that man yields to Jesus Christ, he's a lost man, no matter how much information he has in his head. Illumination is the work of the Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you something. Illumination comes when you and I humble ourselves before the Lord and we allow the Lord to teach us. And we admit that we need taught. That's the biggest hurdle to salvation. It's not that salvation's not free. It's that too many of us are so naturally proud and we just, I don't need it, God. I'll figure it out on my own. Illumination. Without illumination, you and I can't grasp the message that God is communicating through the prophet. Listen to the statement here I'm going to share with you from the book Reflecting Christ. Originally from the Review and Herald of October 1, 1901, Ellen White says the following. She says, the Holy Spirit is present with the earnest searcher. This is talking about illumination here. Its illumination, the Holy Spirit's, shines upon the Word, stamping the truth upon the mind with a new, fresh importance. The searcher is filled with a sense of peace and joy never before felt. The preciousness of truth is revealed as never before. A new heavenly light shines upon the Word, illuminating it as though every letter were tinged with gold. Have you ever studied your Bible like that? There's something about it when the Holy Spirit touches upon the Word and it just you see something that you've never seen. And you know what? You and I can have that experience every day. Because the truth is eternal. You know, the danger is when you think you've got the Bible figured out. I talked to somebody, he's not in here so I can talk about him. I talked to somebody at the meeting last night afterwards, and he said, I said, did you learn anything new tonight? He said, nope. I said, have mercy. You come to me, I know this stuff. I've heard all this stuff before. You're not listening. This is kind of a little sidetrack, but I want you to look in your Bibles. I should have started out with this. I usually start out any class I do with this text, 1 Corinthians 8:2. 1 Corinthians 8:2. Make it your motto. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. Who wants to read that for me? We'll go 1 and 2. That's kind of right. No, no, 2 will work. 8:2. Who wants to read that for me? Yes, sir.
And if any man thinks that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing. He answers, he ought to know.
If any man, and that goes for you ladies too, if any man think he knows what?
Anything.
He knows how much?
Nothing
as he ought to know it. Don't ever get in the mode of thinking you've got it figured out. If you do, you've just shut yourself off from the light God wants to reveal to you. Because every time we come to the Word, God wants to reveal something new, but sometimes we come with that attitude. Can you imagine going to somebody's house for dinner? You could take lunch today. How many of you want to eat today? Anybody hungry today? What are we having? Chili? No, sorry, I had that 6 years ago. I know what that tastes like. You wouldn't do it, would you? There's no sense to do that with the Word of God, the bread of heaven. Now, I've tasted that bread before. It's always new. It's always new. And the Lord, so she says here, a new heavenly light shines upon the Word when the Holy Spirit illuminates our mind, illuminating it as though every letter were tinged with gold. God Himself has spoken to the mind and the heart. God Himself has communicated. You know, I think about it. Even I see it even in our church with pastors sometimes. You know, big speakers. I remember when I was in the world, before I gave my heart to Christ, and you could be at the concerts and stuff, and if I could meet so-and-so and get their autograph. You see people lining up to talk to some man, some woman. We have an audience with God. God Himself has spoken in the mind and the heart. And where are we? You know? Making the Word spirit and life. Eternal life is the receiving of the living elements in the Scriptures, the doing of the will of God. The Holy Spirit illuminates us. And without that illumination, the revelation and inspiration helps the prophet, but doesn't help you and I. So we have to be willing and open to the Lord illuminating us with the words of the prophet. I want you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to see a little channel of communication here. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secret to His servant, the prophet. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1. We'll see kind of a chain of a hierarchy, if you want to call it, of prophetic communication. Revelation 1, starting in verse 1. Revelation 1 and verse 1. It says here, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which who?
God.
God gave who?
Him.
Him who?
Jesus.
So say, God gave Jesus to show His what?
Servants.
Things which He must, things which must shortly take place. And He sent and signified it by His what?
Angel.
To His servant John. So you have God has a message and He sends it to, in our hierarchy there, Jesus Christ in this little chain of command. And then Jesus gives it to His servants through an angel. So Jesus sends the angel to His to His servants. Let's read that because John kind of expounds on verse 1 in verse 2. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show His servants. So in verse 1, you have God to Jesus to the servants. But then He kind of expands this a little bit. And He sent it and signified it by His angel to His servant John, who bore witness to the what? To the Word of God. So He sends it by the angel to the prophet to His servants. Okay? Do you get that? So God communicated a message to His servants. But how did God do it? He sent it through the angel who gave it to the prophet. God gave it to His Son Jesus, who gave it to the angel, who gave to the prophet, who gives to the servants. Now you and I would really like if God could just give it right to me. A lot of people today would like it just right to me. I don't like to have to depend on the prophets. People today say, I don't think we need the Bible. God talks right to me. Well, this is the chain of command the Scripture shows us. God speaks through the prophet. You and I don't have to like it, but that's the way God did it. God spoke to the prophet, and then the prophet communicated it to you and I. And if it hadn't been for the prophets communicating this to you and I didn't have the visions the Scripture was based on. You and I did not have the divine revelations that the Scripture was based on. If it weren't for the prophets, we wouldn't have this. We have nothing. So we can boast how much we don't need prophets. That's just foolishness. That's how God has chosen to communicate His message. You follow that?
Yes.
Okay. Now what I want to do, one more thing I want to look at before our break, is who specifically, the Bible will point out, besides this little hierarchy we see here, the Bible points out to us specifically who speaks through the prophet. Does anybody have an ESV here? I read this earlier. I'm trying to think of the text I was reading. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter... I'm not knocking the ESV, by the way, but I just want to point out to you something that... This thought that's come into this understanding of what we believe the testimony of Jesus is. Let's hold off on that for a minute. Let me get to these other texts first. I want you to go with me to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17. Now we're going to spend more time than this. We're just brushing past this Revelation 12, 17 right now. We're going to spend quite a bit of time going through the Scripture and really anchoring ourselves on this understanding that God has clearly pointed out in the Scripture that His last day church will have the gift of prophecy. But we're just going to look at Revelation 12, 17 and some corresponding texts. Revelation 12, 17, notice what it says here. The dragon was what? Enraged with a woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, or the remnant of her seed, who keep the commandments of God and have the what?
Testimony.
Okay, they have the testimony. What? Of Jesus Christ. Does anybody have something that reads differently than this? Any of your Bibles read differently? That's what I'm looking for. No? Okay. Now, we typically, as Seventh-day Adventists, when we're trying to figure out this testimony of Jesus Christ, we go to the book of Revelation, chapter 19, and we let Scripture interpret itself. Amen? Revelation 19 and verse 10. Revelation 19 and verse 10. Now, John is standing here with the angel who is communicating to him this message. And it says in verse 10, and I fell at his feet to what? To worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your what?
Fellow servant.
And of your what?
Brethren
who have the testimony what? Of Jesus. Okay, there it is. Testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus, what? Is the what? Spirit of prophecy. Does anybody's Bible say anything different there? What's the testimony of Jesus? The spirit of prophecy. Now, I want you to, we're going to come back to that. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians with me, chapter 5. I'm sorry, chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. Let me get it in here. Some of you have the ESV. I'll ask you what it says when we read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, I'm reading in the New King James Version. Listen to what it says. I'm going to start in verse 4. Paul says here, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you by Jesus Christ, that you were enriched in everything by Him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. There it is, the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy. Does somebody have something that reads different? Huh? The testimony about Christ. There are a lot of people today that are starting to get this idea, and they're saying that when we read in Revelation 19:10 that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, rather than being the testimony of Jesus Christ, they say, no, the testimony about Jesus Christ. That's not talking about prophets. That's just talking about ordinary people who are telling others about Jesus. Okay? And so they say, when we're building up this whole doctrine, we're saying the last day church is going to have a prophet. And they said, you guys are crazy. All it's saying is that the last day church is going to be telling people the gospel. Has anybody heard that before? You will. You will. You hear more and more of this. And I'll tell you what. Here's the sad part. Most of it is coming from inside. Or people who have been inside. Okay? So I want you to look again at Revelation as we were there in Revelation 19:10. Now this is just, the Bible makes this very plain for us. We're going to look at 19:10 again. We're going to look at another text, another two texts, and then we're going to take a break. Revelation 19:10, I want you to notice the language. I want you to get the setting of what we're looking at because we're going to see the same thing again just a little bit later in Revelation. Revelation 19:10 says, John fell at this angel's feet to worship him, and he said, see that you don't do it. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the what? Spirit of prophecy. And they say, you're not, John, they're not talking, he's not talking about prophets here. He's talking about just people who prophesy about Jesus. They talk about the gospel of Jesus. Well, hold your finger there and go to Revelation 22 with me. And look at verse 8 and see the exact same thing, but praise the Lord, he just worded it just a little bit different so that these people would bring in these crazy ideas are silenced. Revelation 22, verse 8. Revelation 22, verse 8. The Bible says here, now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel. Oh, look at that. We just saw that, didn't we? And what does the angel do in verse 9? Then he said to me, see that you what? Don't do it. And then he says, I'm your fellow what? Hey, we heard that before too, didn't we? I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren the what? The prophets. Is he just talking about people who tell people about Jesus? No, he's talking about the prophets. The spirit of prophecy is not some means of being a spokesperson about the gospel. The spirit of prophecy is the gift, the prophetic gift that God gave specifically to the prophets. See that you don't do it, he says. I am of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And notice the setting of it. Notice the setting. What is the angel saying? Here's John. The angel's telling him a message, and John is so overwhelmed at the message. It's such a powerful message, he's just like, oh! And the angel says, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Why? Because the testimony that I'm giving you isn't mine. It's coming from Jesus Christ. Therefore, worship God. Don't worship me. That's the essence of what he's saying. That's why he says, don't do that. Worship God. Why? For or because the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I'm just giving you a message that came from Jesus. I'm not due any credit. That's what the angel's telling John. So the prophetic gift, the prophet is a spokesperson for God. And who is it that the Bible tells us is speaking through the prophet? Who's the testimony coming from? Who's the one that gives this testimony? It's Jesus. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You've got people today who say to us, oh, you Seventh-day Adventists, we believe in Jesus. You guys believe in this prophet. You don't believe in Jesus. Oh, wait a minute. The Bible says it's Jesus who chose to speak through the prophets. Now, as a believer in Jesus, I choose to believe whatever Jesus tells me through whatever means he decides to use.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And the Bible says, I didn't say it, and you didn't say it, and the General Conference didn't come up with this. The Bible says that Jesus has chosen to use the gift of prophecy. Amen? One other text, just to flesh it out a little bit more, and we'll take our break. It's in 1 Peter. I'm sorry, I'm going to 2 Peter chapter 1. No, I was right. I was 1 Peter. Please forgive the pastor. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Now, Peter is telling about the wonderful news, the message, the beautiful message of the gospel, the message of salvation through Christ, the message of salvation, incidentally, that had been prophesied throughout the Scripture. And he says this in verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Of this salvation that I'm telling you about, in essence, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. What does it mean to inquire? To ask. The prophets of this salvation, the prophets have asked and searched carefully who prophesied. Get the message. The prophet who gave the message was asking what? What were they asking? Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Let's keep on reading and I'll ask it again. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. What was he asking? What was the prophet asking? What were these prophets asking? Yeah, in essence, follow me, they were asking, what does it all mean? Do you follow that? Do you ask questions that you know the answers to? Not generally. They were inquiring. Now, this is going to be important later on, that the prophets did not understand everything that God told them. I may give you a message to take to somebody. I've done it before. I've called you, Ben, and I've said, hey, Ben, go tell Pastor Asherick this. He'll know what I mean. So Ben goes, all right, I'm going to go over, and he tells him, and he has no clue what he's telling him. He's just repeating what I told him to say, but Pastor Asherick knows what I was saying. Because you follow me? The prophets carried the message, but that didn't mean they understood every piece of the message. Now, who were they speaking to especially? Look at what it says in the next verse. To them, to the prophets, verse 12, it was revealed that not to themselves, but to who? But to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. The prophets bore a message that they themselves didn't fully understand. Why? Because it wasn't for them. It was for us, right? Isn't that what happened to Daniel? Go thy way, Daniel. You'll stand in your lot at the end of the days, but the message isn't for you. It's for the end of time. Right? Mm-hmm. And Daniel says, I was sick for certain days, but and I was astonished at the vision, but no one understood it. Right? Peter says the prophets who prophesied didn't fully... Now that's kind of another point that we're going to get onto later, but we're here, so I wanted you to see it. He says in verse 10, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched. Verse 11, focus on verse 11 here with me. Searching what or what manner of time? The Spirit of who?
Christ.
Christ who was where?
In them.
In them. Who's them?
The prophets.
The prophets. Searching what or what manner of time? The Spirit of Christ who was in the prophets was indicating when he, the Spirit of Christ, did what?
Testified.
When a person testifies, what would you say they're giving?
Testimony.
Their testimony. Who was the one in the prophets giving his testimony? Jesus. So would it be then fair to say that the testimony of the prophets was really the testimony of Jesus?
Yes.
So would it be fair to say that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus and vice versa? Yes. Absolutely it would. So that's just one more text that we can look at Revelation. We can say, hey, we're on the right track here.
Amen.
The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. The prophet is a spokesperson, especially according to the scriptures, for whom?
Jesus.
For Jesus Christ. So you profess to be a follower of Jesus. I'm a gospel-centered, New Testament, Jesus-believing Christian. You better believe in the spirit of prophecy. Amen?